Good morning.
Good morning.
That's what I like. I like interaction. So throughout this message, if you want to say amen, hallelujah, praise be to God, or stop talking, you can say whatever you want to say. If you say stop talking, we'll probably move you to the back there. Is everybody doing well this morning?
Amen.
Awesome. If you'll go ahead and stand with me, I want to pray. And we're just going to do the Lord's Prayer. I think everybody knows that, right? And if you can't stand, it's okay. Let's pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give this day our daily bread and forgive us of our trespasses. As we forgive those who trespass against us, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. In Jesus' name, amen. Can you be seated, please? So everyone's doing well today? Good. I'm so happy to be here. Last time I was here, I just got out of the hospital. Got done with the bone marrow transplant. It's been about a year later, and I still don't have any hair. That's my choice. I'm getting a little thin up here, and I think that's male pattern baldness. Any men in here have male pattern baldness? Raise your hand. One man can agree with me. Okay. So I want to start with this story. A friend was in the front of me coming out of a church one day, and the preacher was standing at the door. And as he shook his hand, he grabbed him by the hand and pulled him aside. The pastor said to him, "Son, you need to join the army of the Lord." The friend said, "Pastor, I'm already in the army of the Lord." The pastor questioned, "Well, son, how come I don't see you except for Christmas and Easter?" He whispered back to him, "Pastor, I'm in the Secret Service." How many people are missing today? Are they in the Secret Service? Listen, this church is an amazing church. And every single seat here should be filled. And it will be filled. Because I know one thing, that God has to somehow take the weeds out to bring back in the harvest. He wants a healthy church. He wants a church that is being that is allowed to do what God wants to do, not what man wants to do. So I'm here today to encourage you. I'm here today to challenge you. There's a couple things I want to challenge you about. First, I want to give you hope. I'm going to let you know I'm not going to be the one that's going to tickle your ears. I'm going to give you a message that I believe is straight from the throne room of God. If you don't believe we can get to the throne room, it's something called the Bible. And it says that we can enter through the gates with praise, into his courts with thanksgiving. That we don't have to have a veil between us and God. I come here today to equip you to make a choice. I believe every time that there's a message that is spoke, you have an opportunity to make a choice. I've come to you today to tell you it's time to lay down our differences. My background might be a little bit different than your background, but we're all in the kingdom of God. I've come today to tell you that we all have a little bit of pride. I know I'm still laying it down. We need to lay down our pride. We need to lay down our differences. We need to try to be a little bit more humble with each and every one. We need to be more in unity, because that's where the power of God comes from. Anybody ever felt the power of God before? It's pretty powerful. That's why it's called the power of God. And I'm here to encourage you that if we can do those things, and if we can forgive our brothers who have hurt us, then God will restore us. There's a scripture out of 2 Chronicles 7:14. It says, "If my people who are called by my name humble themselves, pray and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven." The God that sits on the throne will hear from heaven if we humble ourselves, if we seek his face, and we pray. It says he'll hear from heaven, he will forgive our sin, and he will heal our land. I believe our land is our livelihood. It's our bodies. It's anything that we need. As long as we do what the word says, God will come. He'll heal us and he'll deliver us. And better yet, He'll restore us. I believe that He's going to restore this church. And this church is going to be like wheat in a barn that overflows. Can I get a witness, or do we want to continue? In Jesus' name. The days that we go to church on Sunday for a social gathering is long behind us. I love seeing your beautiful faces. And Wendell, I don't care what he said, you're pretty. I think you are gorgeous. The days that we go to church because it's an obligation is dead. I don't want you to come because of an obligation. I want you to come because you desire to hear the word of God. You desire to be close to God, and because you love Him with all of your heart. The days that we sit in the pews thinking about what we're going to have for lunch, thinking about when is He going to stop talking, those days are an actual abomination to God. Just like brother here said, close off your mind, but open up your heart. Because I'm going to bring a message today that I want it to pierce your heart, just as in Acts, when it said that Peter was preaching, it pierced the heart of the people. They turned away, they repented, but I'm not even talking about repentance. That's what we're going to do. But I'm talking about a revival that God destined for this place so long ago, before He even created this place. My question to you is this. What is religion? Have you ever thought about that? Did you know that there's 4,200 different religions in the world today? And that's just, I'm sure more and more are starting daily. Here goes some of the top religions. If you're with me, say yes.
Yes.
Three people, thank you. Top Christianity. Christianity has 2.1 billion people. Glory be to God. Islam, 1.3 billion. Hinduism, 851 million. Buddhists, 375 million. And there's a new one called the New Age. Anybody ever heard of the New Age? They're on the rise. Let me tell you a little bit about each, really quickly. Hindus acknowledge multitudes of God and goddesses. They believe in a cow god. I love beef. I can't eat it, though. They believe in birds. They pray to different things, and they ask those different gods to help them in different situations. Thank God, Jehovah, that we don't have to pray to a bird, that we don't have to pray to a cow. Buddhists say there is no deity. The New Age followers believe they are God. It's crazy to believe you are yourself God. Muslims believe in a powerful but unknowable God. Christians, however, believe in a God who is loving and is approachable. Can I get a hallelujah?
Amen.
Within Christianity, there's said to be anywhere from 30,000 to 40,000 denominations. What's going on? I mean, Christianity might be the top religion, but we have 30,000 to 40,000 different denominations. So right now we have 30,000 to 40,000 different church groups that say, I have God figured out. Is that true? Why was denomination even created? To divide. I'm not saying that denomination is a bad thing. It was good. But I believe that the enemy can put his hand in anything that he wants to put it into. And what's going on is denomination actually divides the believers. Why can't we stand beside a Catholic, stand beside a Protestant, stand beside a Lutheran, and worship the same God? And this is what's going on. I'm going to ask you a question. Who do you think created denomination?
Man.
You know why I say that? Because Jesus Christ came to this earth 2,000 years ago to save the sinner by grace. But He opposed the proud. He opposed the religious people who thought they had it all together, who were dressed up nicely, who stood up and spoke the Psalms of God. But yet Jesus said, you are far from Him. And the thing is this. Is I think that religion is good. But one thing is we put our hands way too much in religion. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, we put a limit on God. I believe that religion kind of puts Christ on a cross and doesn't let him get down. But the thing is he paid the price to get down to save you from your sin. Are you with me? Listen, this might not be a great message to make you feel all good, but I promise you it will get better. I promise you it will get better. But the only reason I'm bringing this message right now is because my heart is burdened for God's people. I'm tired of division. We all serve the same God. No matter what you believe, we all serve the same God. And as long as this Bible is your opinion, which is actually fact, then you cannot go wrong. Christ came to demolish religion. You know, if we put our differences aside, guys, if we allow God to be the limitless God that he was created us to be within him, nothing would stop us. Think about ISIS. Anybody heard of ISIS? Raise your hand. They are cutting people's heads off. This is real. They believe so much in their religion that they go to the extreme of killing Christians. And sometimes, and I'm not saying this church, but I see all kinds of churches that people are just waiting for Jesus to come back. They sit in their chairs and say, "Jesus, this world is too much for me. Come back." It's time for us to get passionate again, people of God. It's time for us to say, you know what? Despite what I believe in, despite what the Catholics believe, despite what the Lutherans believe, I believe that Jesus rose from the dead and he's coming back. But what can I do to bring somebody else to him? Are you with me?
Amen.
Hallelujah. If we had as much faith as ISIS has when they murder Christians, then the devil would go ahead to put himself in the pit, lock himself up, and throw away the key. You know what the enemy is so scared of? He's scared of Jesus. You know what else the enemy is scared of? The enemy is scared of when he sees Jesus in you. One thing I like to say is this. If you're not butting heads with the devil, you're probably walking with him. You can write that one down if you got note paper. It's pretty good. We have to have a personal relationship with Christ. We have to talk to him daily, love on him daily, and walk with him daily. Do you guys know the difference between a relationship and a religion? Religion is okay with mediocrity. Relationship says, "God, I want to go to the next level." Are there people in here saying, "I want to go to the next level"? Are there people in here that have been sick? I don't know if you know my story, but I was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer back in 2012. I went through 3 months of chemo. Miraculously, it all disappeared. About a year later, it came back. It was in the bone. Went through a bone marrow transplant. I was on my deathbed, but God raised me back up. 6 months later, after the bone marrow transplant, I was diagnosed again with cancer in the neck. We went through 25 rounds of radiation. I'm coming here today to tell you that religion didn't save me. It was Jesus Christ and the personal relationship he has with me.
Amen.
And you might be sitting in your chairs right now and judging me, and that's fine because people judge Jesus. But here is the truth. It's not about what you believe. It's about what Christ has said. And I'm telling you something right now. If you've been through pain, I've been there with you. If you've been through hurt, I've been there with you. I was supposed to get married next Friday, but guess what? We split up. I know what heartache is. I know what physical pain is. And I'm not glorifying myself, but I'm glorifying God in it. Because he is the strong man. He is the one that can lift you up when you're in your deepest depressions. And I'm telling you, depression is real. But you know what you have to do? You have to guard that mind. When the enemy comes and he starts to give you pride, When the enemy comes and he starts to tell you, Jared, you're going to die. You say, you know what, Satan? Get thee behind me. You say, the word of God says, submit to God. Resist the devil. And what does it say, church? He will flee. Scripture also says that there's power. There's life in the tongue. There's life and death in the tongue. And who indulges of that will eat of its fruits. Speak life, not death. Hallelujah. The relationship with Jesus, when you spend time with Jesus, you start to know his heart. Who in here is in a relationship? Who's married? Raise your hand if you're married. Okay. All the men, you ready for this? We're a very close family here, right? All the men, look at your wives. And I want you to say this to them. Honey. Out loud, come on. Look at your wife. I'm not moving from this time. We're going to stay here until 3 o'clock. Look at your wife and say, honey, you are the most beautiful, most gracious thing that I've ever seen. All right. Now, women, wives, look at your husband and say this. I know you married up. And that's true. But the thing is this. When we have a relationship with Christ, you know what happens? He looks at us and say, you married up. Because we are married to Christ himself. We're not married to a church. We're members of a church. But we're married to Christ. And when he looks at us, we say, you are the most beautiful. You are the most gracious. You are everything to me. Just like a man tells his wife. Just like God, Jesus, told his bride. But guess what? We married up. Because you definitely married up, buddy. You did a good job. But you know what? I'm telling you guys. When you have a relationship with your bride or a relationship with friends, what do? You talk to them, right? Daily. If you lose that connection with them for over a week or more than 2 weeks or even a month, what happens is your relationship starts to dim down. You don't get phone calls anymore. You don't see them at Christmas anymore. You barely see them at all. That relationship dies. And the same exact in the kingdom of heaven. If you will just speak to God daily, if you'll open up your word and talk to him daily, your relationship with him will be just as strong, if not stronger, than your relationship with your wife. And then when you go through trials, when you go through tribulations, when you have been diagnosed with cancer, God can tell you, it's going to be okay. This is what I want you to do. And this is the route and the path that you should take. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Let me ask you a question. And I expect a response with yes or no. You good? Was Jesus Catholic? Sophie told me yes earlier today. It didn't work with the 2-year-old. Was Jesus Lutheran? Was Jesus Presbyterian? Protestant? Mormon? Non-denomination? No. Baptist? No. Pentecostal? No. Christian? No. Jesus was the Christ. Jesus wasn't Christian. He was Jewish. And this is exactly what's going on. Jesus was Jewish. He followed the Jewish customs. Jesus lived out the restrictions of religion in his day. No fault was found in him. He was born of a virgin, sinned not, lived perfectly, died as an innocent man, rose again, and put his own spirit within us to give us freedom, liberty, and a pursuit of happiness. Christ came to demolish religion. He came to cancel out religion and to reconnect us as sons and daughters of the Most High. Can I get a hallelujah? See, at the very beginning in Genesis chapter 1, in Genesis chapter 2, it says that God created Adam. It was for a relationship. It wasn't until the sin came and there was separation. He wants to restore us, the church, the ecclesia, the powerful church that can proclaim the word of God, that can tell the politics and tell the government that no, this isn't happened through prayer, because prayer works.
Absolutely.
He wants to reestablish us to the very beginning, and that's why Jesus was called the second Adam. Because he wants to reestablish a relationship. And he doesn't want to put you in bondage in religion. Church isn't a weekly checklist. We don't go to church to get a fix. We don't go to church to get a fix. And Jesus isn't our quickie mark drug dealer. I didn't know if that was going to work in this place. But I thought it was pretty good and I wrote it. We don't go to church to badmouth other believers or to hold on grudges against our neighbor. We don't go to church to get mad at the pastor when he now just stepped on my toes and made me uncomfortable. If you're uncomfortable then, that just means there's something inside you that needs to change. Maybe it's rebellion. Maybe it's pride. Maybe it's even entitlement. You know, I think the thing that I see at most places is entitlement. People believe that they deserve something specific because of their certain positions. And God doesn't like entitlement. Because there was this man named Lucifer who was entitled to lead all the worshiping angels. And I think we had better worship in here than Lucifer could ever display. But you know what? He had entitlement. He had pride. He had rebellion. And God says that he hates rebellion. He hates pride. He hates entitlement. So we got to humble ourselves. And when we humble ourselves, God can restore us, just as I was saying out of 2 Chronicles. But we do go to church for this reason. We go to church to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We go to church to love one another and not to have quarrelsome. We go to church to be challenged in God. We go to church for godly fellowship. We go to church to lay hands on the sick, to prophesy to the dry bones, and to empower God's children to be better and to change. We go to church because we simply are in love with God. True religion in the Bible says this out of James chapter 1, verse 27. Religion that God our Father accepts. That word accepts means accepts. It means that he approves. So he approves as pure and faultless in this. To look after orphans and widows in their distress. And to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Guys, I haven't seen true religion in a very long time. But if that's true religion, I know that this church could be that. Because when you start doing that, when you start to make sure that you're not polluted by the world and you're taking care of God's own, he starts to give blessing and glory and honor where it deserves. And I believe this is the place in little old Kannapolis, North Carolina, that will say, you know what? I want to not be polluted by the world. If that means you getting off Facebook, I did it for about 3 months. I got back on because I felt like God needed to use my voice again. If that means that you need to stop hanging out with those friends, you know what? What does it say in the Word of God? It says that bad company corrupts good character. There's things that you might have to take out. If you're watching late night shows on TV, if you're surfing the internet, whatever it may be, put restrictions on it so that your heart doesn't become polluted. Maybe it's watching the news. Maybe it's watching ISIS. Maybe it's hardened our hearts so much that now we can't be sensitive to what God wants to do in us. We have to humble ourselves if we ever want to be in a relationship. Man, I'm going to speak to you one more time. How many of us have had pride issues in the past? I'll be the first one to raise my hand. If you didn't raise your hand, you probably need to repent tonight. Because everybody has had pride. Everybody. Besides Jesus. He's the perfect one. But when you look at your wife, you had to humble yourself, didn't you? Have you ever had an argument with your wife? And you know that women always win arguments? You had to humble yourself. Humble yourself before Christ, and he will embrace you like a true husband or a true wife for you. True religion is a relationship with God, with unity, and with love. I want to give you a couple scriptures about unity, because I believe that one thing that I want to do before we leave today is I want us all to gather together, to hold hands, to lift our eyes to Jesus, and to pray that the unity of God will be reestablished in this place, that division will not be here anymore, and that God Himself can walk right through the door and He can say, "Here's my revival." Do you want that, church? I want it for you. And I would love to be here for that. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 10. I appeal to you, brothers. Now, this is Apostle Paul talking to the church of Corinth. Right before this, he was talking about how different people were following different people. They were following Paul. They were following Christ. They were following Apollos. And this is what Apostle Paul says. I appeal to you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another so that there may be no division among you and that you may be perfectly united in mind and in thought. There's something about being united in mind and thought. Be united in heart. Colossians 3, 13 and 14. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievance you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. You know, one thing I like to talk about is forgiveness. How many people in here has ever been hurt by somebody? Yeah, I think we all have. Have you forgiven those people? You know, people have even maybe offended you or whatnot a couple weeks ago. Maybe it was earlier. Maybe I offended you. I need you to forgive me. But the thing is this. If Scripture is so evident and it's so, it tells us that if you don't forgive, how can your Father who is in heaven forgive you? And I'm going to be very strict with you right now. I'm going to be very honest and open. If you have unforgiveness in your heart right now, and you were to fall over, I don't know what would happen. I'm not the judge, but I do know what Scripture says. It says, how can He who died on the tree forgive you of your sins if you don't forgive others for the sins that they have committed against you? And I think the most important thing that we need to know right now is if we want unity, we have to forgive. It doesn't matter if the person has already passed away. Forgive them in your heart. Anything that you feel bitterness about, anything that comes your way and you're like, man, that kind of gets on my nerves. Just forgive it. Let it go. Release it. Let God restore you. And I'm telling you, you'll have revival in your own heart. And what I love about revival is, yeah, I love big gatherings revival. But you know where revival starts? Right here. There was a man of God that says, draw a circle, stand in the middle, pray, and don't move until revival comes to you. And that's where revival goes. If you have revival within you, revival will be spread to the nations. Ephesians 4, 3, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. And Acts 2, 1, when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. Say one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues and fire appeared on them and rested on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. One thing I know about unity is that when we come in one accord, the Holy Spirit will fill us. There was a story in the Bible, the Tower of Babel. They were all in one accord. They were building a tower to reach heaven. And God said they would have done it if He would not have divided them. But now, since we have the Spirit of God, since we have the truth of God's Word, we can reach heaven with unity. Man, I'm preaching better than you guys are saying amen. That's also just to give you a little laughter. You know, the enemy wants this church to fail. He wants his church to go down to one member until the point that you have to cancel every service. But a unity, a people of God that says no, and they stand firm in what you believe, The enemy has to run every single time. There is power in the assembly. Do you understand that? But if you separate the assembly, you lose the power. So we have forgiveness. We have unity. And finally, we have love. Love is so important. So, so important. I'm going to give you a couple of scriptures and I'm just going to say a few things from my heart. And if Lisa, if you would kindly just come up here and just play a little bit of something for us, that would be great. But guys, my heart's burdened for this church. John called me the other day and he asked me if I'd come and speak. And anytime somebody asks me, I'm like, yes, yes, yes. Because I want to be able to just share my heart with people. Guys, I've been on the verge of death before. Have you ever thought about death? It doesn't matter because there's glory in death. And one of my good friends, he just lost his mother this morning. But you know what? While we're here on this earth, we have to love people. We have to have compassion for people. Because one thing that I do know is that the reason Jesus climbed on that cross, they didn't put him on that cross, he climbed on that cross, was because he loved. His compassion healed the people. His compassion took our sin. And now he gives us his compassion. Guys, I know this world is crazy. But why aren't we doing something with it? So I'm going to tell you it like this. I know trying to change national issues seems very difficult. So what do? We start with yourself. We then start with our friends. After that, we then go within our church. We then go within the community. And the community then spreads to the city. And the city then spreads to the state to the nations. Same exact way as you eat an elephant. If you ever ate an elephant, that would be weird. But if you ever ate one, one bite at a time. But I'm telling you something right now. Love. 1 John. Chapter 4, verse 8. Whoever does not love does not know God. Because God is love. Listen, I used to be a person who used to put people down. I used to belittle them. And picking and joking, that's fine. I'm okay with that. I've stopped, personally. But the thing is if we try to make somebody else lower, and I'm not saying this for you, so please, please guard your heart on this. But if we try to make somebody lower than ourselves and belittle them, it's because you think you're better than them. But the only thing that you're really doing is you're trying to heal your heart from hurt and pain and probably a lack of security and identity. Guys, love one another. If you wouldn't do what you do in front of Jesus, don't do it. If you wouldn't say what you would say in front of Jesus, don't say it. He's love. He's perfect love. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If we learn to humble ourselves through pride, if we learn to forgive those who have hurt us, if we learn to trust Jesus through every single trial and battle that we go through, if we become more unified as believers, if we understand the relationship of God and we walk in that, and if we abide in his love, then there is nothing that can stop us. There's nothing